All right, Steve Byrne, longtime friend of the show, comedian. He's going to be performing at the new Brea Improv Thursday through Sunday, located in downtown Brea on Brea Boulevard. Now you have to do is go to brea.improv.com. It's all about Brea and Steve Byrne. Let's get him in here.
I haven't seen Steve in a little while.
Oh, there he is. Yes. Yo, yo, yo.
What's up, guys?
Steve?
How are you?
Nice to see you.
So, Steve, we're talking about jobs, getting fired. You've been fired from a job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he became
actually
a comedian.
That'd be an easier question. You ever kept a job?
I went to Kent State University in Ohio, so there's a main street, and I literally was like, I got fired from there, I got fired from there, I got fired from just everywhere. Video 101, I used to deliver VHS tapes to door to door. Like, you know, you would call and say, I want to see the Big Lebowski tonight. So I'd get in the car and deliver it like pizza.
Wow. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. How'd you screw that up?
Every time, you know, it was a college. So it was like, oh, there's a party this Friday. I'll just go get another job on Monday. That's what I did. So.
Yeah. And actually, he got fired at Kent State. He said, dude, we said use rubber bullets. For God's sakes.
Oh. Hello.
Oh, Kent State. Frosty.
Hello.
Oh. Whoa.
Too soon?
Maybe.
Yes, okay, too
I think
soon.
Maybe a little too soon.
Never mind.
May the 4th. Be with you.
And also with you.
Good to see you. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
It's been a bit, yeah.
Are you making a movie right now? Is that the deal? Is there a rumor that you're making a movie?
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Well, we've got rumors.
I forgot. You guys are Dish Nation, yeah.
We're all in about the everything. Thing,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, making a film about, I guess, my early years in stand-up, yeah. So, been working with Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley on this thing for like 2 years, and yeah, we're
it's like old footage of you of a young Steve Byrne on stage.
No one wants that. That's my May 4th.
What, Wally Cleaver? Peter Billingsley?
No. That's Cousin Oliver from
Wally Cleaver.
Barbara Billingsley.
Oh, Barbara Billingsley. Yeah. That's where I got the Billingsley. Oh, okay. I was like, where do I know Billingsley from? That Wally?
No, Peter's, everybody knows Pete from Christmas Story.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Remember, wasn't he producing Sullivan and Son 2?
He was doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete and Vince. So, yeah, doing that. And then getting ready to film a new hour in the fall in New York City. And it's like, it's kind of a cool concept because all the hours nowadays are like somebody in front of a curtain, right? But mine is going to be, I'm a talk show, but I'm the only one on the talk show. So I have monologue, I do the panel, and then I do stand-up. And if you want, we could, do you have a drum kick? The old school drum kick?
I'm sure we do, yes.
I can run a few monologue jokes by you, and then you could tell me what you...
I've never been in
working stuff out.
Like a test group. Okay. Right.
Yeah, like a little, a test audience. Well, I don't know if you... Obviously, North Korea's in the news. I don't know if you guys know this, but a Hunger Games theme park recently opened in South Korea. It's called North Korea. Thank you. This year's Westminster Dog Show had two new breeds never seen before because apparently last year's after party got a little out of hand. Hit me. Kim Kardashian was asked if she could take a selfie with anyone dead or alive. Who would it be? Her answer, Jesus Christ. But I think we can all agree he has suffered enough. Hit me. A young couple in Northern California was recently arrested for trying to sell the young child in the parking lot of a Walmart for $25. Walmart issued a statement, we are horrified. But yet again, where else will you find these everyday low prices? Pfizer has announced they've developed a morning after pill for men. It changes your phone number and DNA.
All right. Good stuff. All right. We're all on your way to that special,
like we were
man.
On a late night talk. That was cool.
You got some good stuff
I like
going.
The audience in the back, too.
Yeah, the drummer never shows
any
up.
Any
so
real
nice
aspirations for doing late night television?
No.
I think you'd be great at it.
I think it all kind of came out because the last few years I haven't gotten to do a talk show. I had like a Showtime special come out, and for some reason I submitted a bunch of different late night sets, but for some reason or another it just kind of fell through the cracks. So that gave me the impetus to be like, well, maybe I'll just do my own then.
Right.
And, I don't know. That's how it all kind of came
about. What is that? I mean, is it just a game you have to play? Because you're obviously a hilarious guy, so is it you don't play the game to be like, come on, Kimmel?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just known as a road guy, or I just have no idea. I really
don't
know.
Maybe they feel
so
like you're
going to
be too dirty. You know, Steve Byrne.
That is filthy.
You know, Vice President Mike Pence recently celebrated an anniversary with his wife. I heard he spent his anniversary trying to convince his wife to participate in a twosome.
Hey! No!
So when you did your USO tours, which I thought was amazing, you did that. You went to Iraq, Afghanistan.
Yeah, going back in September.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Is it kind of scary going over there? Do you fear for your...
The first one was definitely scary.
I imagine.
I was really... Because that was the height of the Iraq War. It was 2004. I went over with Colin Quinn and Robert Kelly, and my brother was actually stationed at Camp Victory North in Iraq. We got to go and perform for them. That was the first one I had ever done, and I was really nervous because you're flying everywhere in Black Hawks once you get to the main bases, and there's like it's like flying in a pickup truck. Like the doors are open, the guy's feet are hanging off the side. He's strapped in, but they're manning the machine guns on the side just because. And I'll never forget I think it was like the third show we did. We actually were in the city. We were in Baghdad, and we were performing on the back of a flatbed truck. That was the stage, and they had all these folding chairs set up outside. And I'm the first one up, of course. So I go, looking around, I go, why are there snipers up on these buildings here? He goes, oh, those are there to watch the snipers on the other side over there. I'm like, why are we outside? Like, can we do this inside somewhere? This is a horrible idea.
Oh, my God.
And then the other time, we were in a C-130, which is those immense cargo planes. And that's how we were going from base to base. And they asked two of us if we wanted to sit in the front. So Colin Quinn and I went up in the front, and we had the headset. Colin had the headset on. I didn't have the headset on. And we're flying up, and as we're flying, you can see out the bay windows of the C-130, and there were fireworks going off. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And Colin and I were giving each other a thumbs up, and I was like, yeah, maybe they're celebrating us leaving over. And then I land, and then they're like, no, those were heat-seeking flares.
Oh, my God.
We're being shot at, and I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
What?
You're oohing and ahhing at this.
Ooh. Yeah.
Colin, look.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Colin was like, it was so nice, because if we were in the cockpit, we would have known why we died, but Bobby Kelly would have no idea.
Is it hard to focus when that is going on? I mean, if you're a club guy, there's always like chattering and people delivering drinks and waitresses. You have to sort of like...
The possibility of literally dying?
Well, right. Like, how do you still do your set when you're
like,
sure
to tip your snipers.
Yeah. 2-gun minimum, so...
Yeah, I think so. But it's like, that's an everyday occurrence for those men and women, right? So
right.
I think for when you're over there, it's just like, I mean... Yeah, it's definitely outside the norm, but that's just one of those things, again, where you appreciate on so many levels what they go through. You know, I remember I did this one tour with Drew Carey, and we were doing a show in the middle of the day in just this tent, and there was maybe 100 soldiers there. And this one guy came up, and after the show, he goes, man, I can't believe this. I go, what? He goes, I literally was part of a convoy where one of our convoys got pinned down by some insurgents. And he said, we got the call. We went over. We rescued him. He was showing me, like, in the dirt, like, how they were pinned down. I was like, tell me. And he was showing it to me. And then he's like, we rescued these guys. One of them got banged up, but he's going to be okay. And we literally pull into the base, and then we hear people laughing. And he's like, it's just surreal to, like...
what they just went through.
To go through firefight, and then all of a sudden there's Drew Carey, and then there's a comedy show. He's like, but you guys took my mind off of literally what just happened there. And it's like all those like little nuances. And even sometimes when you go to like Korea or Guam, it's like you see the commercials and, they're jumping out of helicopters. They get the night vision. It's like there's people doing HR in a hospital and just doing paperwork and admin, and that's not in the commercial, but they're still serving our country. And these are men and women missing birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And I think that's why you go over. It's like you think of the thought of IEDs and everything else, but it's the little things. It's being away from family, I think. That's why I can go back.
Is there any incentive besides just being a good American to go? I mean, you're like, okay, we're going to pay you this much to go on the tour.
Oh, you don't get paid anything. You just go for a week.
They just ask you, and you're like, okay, we'll go for a week.
But you look pretty badass in that flak jacket.
You get to do some
cool stuff. The jacket.
No, you don't get to keep the flak jacket.
Not in a helmet, nothing.
But last time we were with the special ops guys, and they brought us into the into this like special ops garage. And it's like the A-Team, right? They showed us tricked out motorcycles, tricked out Humvees, all the cool guns, like the gadgets, like this stuff that you would want to join just because of that.
Right.
And this guy is a trained assassin and the best of the best. And, of course, he looked like he was chiseled, good-looking guy like yourself.
Oh,
and
well,
just
thank
like,
you.
That's so nice you say to Frosty.
But it's like, but you know what I mean? Like, all those special ops guys, they look like...
Right.
It's just like, really, like, you're good looking and you're a killer, and it's just like, I don't know, I just want to sue my parents when I meet guys. They're just cool dudes, yeah.
Did you tailor your jokes like all the punchlines are about, like, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, those guys, hoping they don't hear you and catch you on the way to the airport, to your head?
You know, speaking of what, you know, if you are in the Taliban, there is a benefit, because if you do, if you get remarried, you don't have to change your wedding photos. Hit me.
Oh, there it is.
They wear burkas, guys. They wear burkas. To anybody driving.
You can't really, okay. Comedian Steve Byrne, he's with us right now, performing at the New Brea Improv. The New Brea Improv, where they tear down the old
brand
one.
New Brea brand Improv, new. Yeah. And actually, we're this is kind of ironic. I'd been booked on the books at the Brea Improv for months now, and the old Brea Improv is going to be the location for the film. So I'll be doing the last thing at the old Brea Improv and the first thing at the New Brea Improv. The historic venue of the Brea. That's where show business runs through.
It's going to be Thursday through Sunday this week, located in downtown Brea on Brea Boulevard. For tickets, you can go to brea.improv.com for tickets. Now, Sullivan and Son, it's not on anymore, but that was loosely based on your real life, right? Did your family own a bar growing up, or was that just part of the story?
Just part of the story. Like Rob Long, who is a great showrunner, who just did Kevin Can Wait, but I guess they got the axe. So he, you know, we had a meeting and he said, originally it was a different concept, and he said, you should put it in a bar. And it's like, this guy came from Cheers at a 22 and graduated at Yale.
He has one trick.
Yeah.
You know, he's put it in a bar.
Oh,
wrong.
I guess, all right. Yeah.
They're broke.
Yeah. Kevin James, you should make this sitcom in a bar. Keep it a traditional. Okay, and then they got canceled. Maybe he's right. So, yeah, he said put it in a bar, and we put it in a bar, and, you know, it worked.
But
what
was the original set supposed to be in the original story?
A diner. It was supposed to be a diner. Just a communal kind of environment, but at the time, we were the highest-rated show on TBS, the original program.
And
then, you know, the new president comes in, and all those things happen. But look, I got 3 great years. I thank TBS for the opportunity. They were amazing.
Did you get to have a final episode and wrap things up, or was it just like after the one taping, okay, that was it, you're done?
That was it, yeah.
Oh!
That was it. We didn't get to wrap all those. Because we thought we were coming back. Everybody thought we were.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
it was a great show.
It was fun. But, yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's the show business.
Yeah, at least you had the opportunity.
Exactly, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
And now Owen Benjamin has moved back east, and he's chopping wood all day.
Well, I think that's...
Has Owen lost his mind? Seriously. Is he been sniffing glue? What's he doing? I think he's, like, incredibly bored and is going insane. He's turning into a mountain man.
No comment. No comment. This is my Russia, okay? There's been no collusion.
I don't know.
He's like, I don't know.
I don't know, man. He's crazy. I don't know. You know,
want to talk hockey instead?
You know, John Hopkins recently reported that its surgeons performed the first penis and scrotum transplant, fully functioning, absolute success. It was done on a U.S. war vet. So I think that's a great story, because not only is war vet a hero, but I like to think that his penis and scrotum won the men's decathlon in the 76 Olympics. So we're done talking about Owen Benjamin.
Talking about good old Owen.
Gotta get it. Throw the scent off on that one.
Thank you, Steve, so much for coming in. It's always good to see you. I can't wait for your movie and your special to come out. Go see him. This week, Thursday through Sunday, at the new Brea Improv. Is it new, like even larger than it was before? More
it's
seats?
Brand new. It's like state of the art. It's one of those gorgeous new clubs that, you know, they're all the bells and whistles, basically. So I'm really excited to check it out. Absolutely. Robert Hartman does a good job. He doesn't make a bad club.
Tickets go to brea.improv.com. Be sure and follow Steve on Twitter, too, at Steve Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, live. Steve Byrne Live. All right, there you go. Thank you so
much,
buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Lisa May. What's going on, traffic, Lisa?